What do we think the Titans' top 10 big board looks like for the 2024 NFL Draft? Well, we're going to build one. We're going to build our own version of what we think is the Titans' top 10 big board, mostly probably for pick number 7 or if they trade back from there. But another way of looking at this, who are the 10 most likely players the Titans will pick in the first round? That is what we're trying to find out today. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver, and with me as always, Justin Mello. And today, Justin, like I said, we're building out a top 10 big board for the Titans. How are you doing?
Doing well. Excited to do this for you. You know, a pick at number 7, they've got to be prepared for a bunch of scenarios and all options, and I think this is a good way to do it, to build out a top 10 big board.
I agree, and kind of look at, like I said, the top 10 most likely pick. I think the last 2 or 3 years on this podcast, we've done a 10 most likely picks for the Titans in the first round. This is our way of doing that this year. We're doing it a little different. We're building a big board. But before we get into that, let me tell you about Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville, our sponsors for this episode. Check them out. They have a huge selection of booze, wine, bourbon, everything you could dream of that you need to throw. Maybe a huge draft party coming up. So head over to Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville or Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville and stock up. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel, give us a thumbs up, and drop a comment below. What does your top 10 big board look like for the Titans? Let us know in the comments below. Who do you think should be the pick at number 7 or in the first round under a trade back scenario? All right, Justin, let's get into it here. The top of our big board, I think this is a player that is not very likely to be the Titans' first round pick. Just because he's not very likely, in fact, I would say 0.1% chance that he makes it to pick number 7, but he's got to be the top of their board, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State.
We're in full agreement here. I mean, the chances look, Arizona at 4, Chargers at 5, everyone actually, I think, Giants at 6, who's at 7? No, sorry, the Titans, excuse me. like, who would not take this guy on that list, right? Like, come on, the Cardinals, I have a hard time thinking the Cardinals, the Chargers, and the Giants all pass on him. They all have needs, huge needs at receivers. Who's wide receiver 1 in Arizona right now? Like, they got rid of Hollywood Brown. It's a really, really bad list. Michael Wilson, exactly. I mean, you look at the Chargers, almost as bad, right? Without Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and the Giants at 6. Like, all three of these teams, just so happened, bad luck for the Titans. They need receivers so bad. I don't see any way this guy gets past those teams. And if he does, Titans should sprint to pick to the podium. He is the best overall prospect in the class. That has never changed for me. It's been true since the season started, essentially, or he did not disappoint. He is almost a perfect wide receiver prospect, and he should be number 1 on their. You got to be prepared for all scenarios. Like, we're not going to talk about them, and we didn't include him on this list, but Caleb Williams might be the number 1 player on their board. You know what I mean? Like, these things happen, right? Like, you're prepared for everything, but in our board, you know, we're ignoring the quarterbacks like we should. Those guys, you know, Caleb Williams not making it to 7, so it doesn't matter. But from a team perspective, they got to literally be prepared for all scenarios. For us, that includes Marvin Harrison Jr., number 1 player on our big board.
And quickly, before we move on to our second player, I will play out the scenario that sees Marvin Harrison fall to the Titans. So we are getting reports now. There are numerous reports. Now, whether or not you want to believe these is up to you, that teams have Malik Nabers ranked higher on their board than Marvin Harrison Jr. So here's the scenario. The first 4 picks are all quarterbacks. Four out of the first 5 picks are all quarterbacks. Trade ups, trade downs, whatever has to happen. Giants maybe move up to 4 instead of the Vikings or the whoever, the Raiders, the Broncos. Somebody comes up into the top 5, takes a quarterback. So 4 of the first 5 picks are quarterbacks. Chargers maybe stick and pick and take a tackle. Joe Alt there. There's been a lot of talk out of Chargers camp about the importance of O-line and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of Chargers fans think they're definitely going receiver. You talked about their receiving options. They definitely need one. They take a tackle, and then the Giants have Nabers ranked ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. on their big board. Bang, he's there at pick 7. I think that is an extremely unlikely scenario. I certainly would not bet money on that scenario to play out. But there is at least the possibility that the draft falls that way.
That's not impossible, like you said. I think you've got to get the 4 quarterbacks in the top 6. That's key. And then you got to get a team that has Nabers ahead of them, and then a team that wants a lineman. So stranger things have happened. I'll give you that. But I think ultimately you and I would both be surprised if this guy was on the board at number 7.
surprised, but excited. All right, number two.
Very excited.
Number two on the big board here that we're building for the Titans, the most likely pick for them at number seven, offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. The biggest hangup here is, will he make it? I just mentioned the Chargers and the offensive line talk that's been going on. They very well could take Joe Alt at number five. But if the Chargers trade down, or if they go with a wide receiver that they desperately need for their offense and for Justin Herbert, I think there's no, I don't think the Giants are taking Joe Alt. I don't think he's going top four. I think he is very likely to be on the board when the Titans pick at seven. And if he is, I think they sprint that pick to the podium.
I agree. And not everyone's probably going to agree with us having him at number two. I've seen people have him at one. I bet there are people that have him at three or four behind the next guy on our list that we'll get to in a second. But plug and play left tackle. They need a starter so bad at that position. You talk about the upside, especially with Bill Callahan as the O-line coach. Number two for us, but I would rank number one on a most realistic top 10 big board.
Exactly. And I think if you want to know more about Joe Alt, we've talked extensively about him as a prospect. We did a 40-minute film breakdown a couple weeks ago, so go check that out. And last,
you guys
love
that
week,
one too. That one did numbers. So that one is the only breakdown. Very responsive to the Joe Alt film breakdown.
That's really the only breakdown that did big numbers. And then earlier this week, we talked about prospects visiting the Titans, and Joe Alt was one of those guys. So we talked about him again there. So lots of content on this channel about Joe Alt. Go find it. We're moving on to the next guy on our list. Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU, comes in at number three on our big board for the Titans. Talk me through, Justin, the decision to include Nabers behind Alt, but ahead of Fashanu.
Well, I think for me, number one, he's a better overall player and prospect than Fashanu. Number two, and this is the player I was alluding to, I bet there are Titans fans that have him ranked one or two. We've got him at three. For me, he's the wide receiver two in this class behind Marvin Harrison Jr. If I had him as wide receiver one, if I had him as a better player than Marvin Harrison Jr., he'd be number one on my list, because I would think that highly of him if I liked him better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I still really like the player, the prospect. Don't get me wrong. We did the film breakdown. You guys can go check that out on YouTube. Highlighted a ton of traits that we're fans of: the short area, quickness and explosiveness, ability in the open field, creates yards after catch. Very high on this player. I think you and I have both said it. Wouldn't be mad if he's the pick at number seven. Would only be maybe a little confused about what they're doing to protect the quarterback.
Right. And that's how I feel. And really quickly, I will explain just a little more why we have Alt over Nabers here. And I think that there's a chance the Titans have Nabers over Alt. There's a chance people will like Nabers more and he might be a better player. If I was building this big board just on what I wanted based on my own scouting reports, I might have Nabers ahead. But looking at everything that the Titans have done in free agency, obviously signing a huge contract for Calvin Ridley, and it completely so far ignoring the tackle position, despite having the worst left tackle combo with the guys they ran through last year in the entire league. Rand Carthon constantly talking about how we've added weapons around Will Levis and we hope we give him a chance to succeed, but we still got to protect him. Talking about how they've looked at the draft and the tackle depth in the draft, which you could take one of two ways. That could mean that there's depth and they can wait and not pick a tackle at seven, or it can mean like we're going to the draft to get to finish this offensive rebuild and get our left tackle. So everything that they've said and everything that they've done leads me to believe that they are going to pick a tackle very high in this draft. And that, again, that could be at 38. That could be contingent upon Joe Alt making it to pick number seven. But I think, as much as I love Malik Nabers, I just don't think the Titans will take him ahead of Joe Alt, because yes, you're building, you know, you're trying to assemble a team of the best football players and you're not necessarily attacking needs in the draft, but the Titans have such a big need at left tackle and they are set with two great receivers and it's a deep receiver class that can get someone later if they really want another one. I just don't feel good about, like you said, going into this season, who's going to protect Will Levis? And yeah, maybe they find the guy on day two. Maybe they sign Andres Pete, whatever. But do you want to feel okay about that? Or do you want to feel freaking great about that? And I want to feel great about it. So that's why Joe Alt comes in ahead.
No brainer. As much as they love Will Levis, as much as they say they love Will Levis, yeah, you could show him love by getting him a bunch of receivers, but you also got to show him some love by keeping him from being on his backside every single snap, right? And protecting him. And he had a couple injuries at the end of last year and you couldn't protect them. So it's like, I wouldn't understand the offseason plan whatsoever if they're passing on tackle at seven, or if they're trading back and getting a tackle, I can still get that. But if you're just picking at seven and not picking a tackle, I don't know. I would almost call it, you'd call it, you know, they might call it confidence. I would call it borderline arrogance to think that they could protect this quarterback without taking a tackle at seven, or again, trading back and taking one. But if their first round, if the first round ends without them taking a tackle, I think it's borderline arrogance that they think they can protect him without doing that.
That said, the number four player on our big board is not a tackle. We're looking at these two receivers here behind Marvin Harrison Jr. Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, the wide receiver out of Washington, comes in at number four. Very close as prospects. Most scouts have them, you know, within a couple of spots on a big board of each other. I tend to kind of like Rome Odunze maybe a little bit more than I like Malik Nabers. And we're very high on Malik Nabers, but I'm also very high on Rome Odunze. His advanced numbers against like man coverage are outstanding. His ball skills, his ability to win contested catches are absolutely elite. He can win down the field, can win in the short area. He is more prototypical X mold receiver than Malik Nabers, who might be more of like a Z guy and who can play in the slot, whereas Rome, I think, is going to be like your single aligned wide receiver, wide to the strong side of the field. Like, he's going to be your big dominant X player that I think can fill a big role for the Titans. DeAndre Hopkins has been that kind of guy his whole career. He's not as much anymore. Played, you know, I think the most snaps of his career last year out of the slot that he's ever played. So he's a guy that's moving around a little bit more. Calvin Ridley, we know, you know, when the Titans signed him, a big knock was how he was used in Jacksonville, being that X who did not go in motion much, did not move around the formation much. Very different from how the Titans will probably use him. Jamar Chase was a guy that was moved all over the formation, and we've already heard Brian Callahan talk about how he sees Ridley in that Jamar Chase role for the Titans. So who's going to be the X? Is it going to be Hopkins? It can be, but I think at this point in his career, he's best suited when he can also move around the formation, which is where I lead to Rome Odunze as a great fit next to these two receivers. And for the future, when only Calvin Ridley is left and he can play on the outside next to Calvin Ridley. So, huge fan of Rome Odunze. He comes in at number four on our board. I think the distinction between Nabers and Odunze is very slight for me. So, that's why we have them stacked back to back there.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, you said everything I wanted to say. So, I'll keep it short. Big bodied, vertical, explosive playmaker. We know Brian Callahan likes those types in his offense. He's neck and neck with Malik Nabers for me as the wide receiver too in this class. I think there's enough separation between him and our next player, regardless of position, that we felt the right thing to do was have him at number four here.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, it's almost like Calvin Ridley and Rome Odunze, very similar to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and you know Brian Callahan has had success with that setup. So that's why I come back to that too. All right, the fifth player on our board, Justin, Penn State tackle Ola Fashanu.
Well, I almost switched this with number six, and we're going to get to six in a second here, but I think this is the last player I would consider at number seven if you're sticking at number seven. I don't know that they'll feel the same way. You've seen a lot of mock drafts nowadays, and not that that means anything, but you've seen a lot of them have this guy consistently sliding to like 14, 15 overall. So you wonder if some of that they know stuff. I mean, guys that are plugged in are mocking him at 14, 15. So you wonder what's there. Head over to Twitter, mocks, check out our film breakdown.
Yeah, some of these mocks, he's sliding to the 20s. Sorry, I just wanted to point that out.
No, like, yeah, I mean, that exactly, right? So it's interesting. You'd have to think there's some smoke where there's fire there. You and I both like the player enough where we'd at least consider him at number seven. I think he's like the last player we'd consider at seven, right? After all the others that we've already run through. So not likely, you know, more than, you know, they're going to have a chance, you'd think, at a Joe Alta, Malik Nabers, or a Rome Odunze at seven. And if they do, that's probably the player we would take, or we'd entertain a trade down and getting a tackle. So we'll see what happens there. But certainly a guy that I'm high enough to at least consider there. But you do have some pause based on everything you've heard.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, like you said, he's probably the last guy they'd pick at seven. Let's play out this scenario. Only three quarterbacks go in the top four, top six, I guess. Three quarterbacks go top six. Number four is Marvin Harrison Jr. Number five, Joe Alt. Number six, Malik Nabers. Like, the chances that Ola Fashanu is on the board at pick seven and is the highest guy on their board. Now, our version of their board, he wouldn't be the highest guy because we have Rome Odunze ahead of him. So there, in order for him to be the highest guy on the board, if they have the same board as us, you'd only have two quarterbacks go in the top six. The other quarterbacks would have to slide. You'd have to get Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Joe Alt off the board along with two quarterbacks. That's the six picks, right? So I think that you're right. Maybe they have him ahead of Rome Odunze on their board. It's definitely possible that they do, and that they get in the situation where they're like, well, we'd really love to trade back here, but nobody's biting. We're not getting enough value, so we're just going to have to stick and pick. And in that scenario, if somehow they have Fashanu over Rome Odunze, which again, it's very possible that they do, then they could take Ola Fashanu there at seven. But I think he is more likely in play in a trade back scenario than he is at pick number seven.
I agree. I ultimately agree with that. I think that where there's, again, where there's smoke, there's fire, and seems like it's a potentially more of a trade back candidate, which is why I almost swapped him with number six.
And number six on our big board is not a player, although this is kind of a silly cop-out by us. But anyway, number six
option. I don't think it's a cop-out because I think we're ranking options.
We're ranking options. Okay. We're building a big board that has options. So the number six option on our big board here is to trade back. And I think they will trade back. There's no way everyone we just talked about is already off the board, like I said. I mean, right. We have five players ranked. Plus, you're expecting at least two quarterbacks to go. That's seven picks right there. So only six picks ahead of the Titans. They'd have to be in a situation where they just are getting a really good offer and they believe Ola Fashanu or Rome Odunze will still be there wherever they're sliding back to, whether that's 11 with the Vikings, 12 with the Broncos, 13 with the Raiders, or potentially even farther back. And I think that they would hope that they can still get Fashanu or Rome wherever they slide back to. And if they can't, then the rest of the board that we're about to go through comes into play.
Right. And again, I want to state this really clearly. We have this at number six. The reason we have it is this might rank number one for the Titans. This might rank number two or three. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, even someone that really wants Joe Alt or Malik Nabers, for example, if they felt the same way, this might be option number three. They would probably have this ahead of Olu Fashanu or Rome Odunze at seven, I think, potentially. Is what I mean by how high the trade back option probably is. Look, it's straightforward. They got a ton of holes on this roster and they don't have a third round pick. They need more draft capital. So that's why we wanted to rank this in the top 10. Again, we're ranking it at six. I bet it's a lot higher than option number six on the Titans big board.
I actually would guess, if I had to totally guess, realistically, I think they probably have Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever, as like a pray to God he's there, but he probably won't be. Joe Alt, trade back. I think that's probably what their board looks like.
Very possible.
And, you know, the rest of these guys we're talking about would be awesome players, but I think that there's more value to be had in stacking picks. And just from a philosophical standpoint, ignore the specificity of this draft. From an overall philosophy for drafting, believing that you are going to be right about a certain player over the idea that adding more swings, more picks and more chances to be right about a player is just an arrogance that gets people fired, to be completely frank. That, like, the Cowboys wanted to draft Paxton Lynch. He got taken ahead of them. So they fell back onto Dak Prescott. Now, if the Cowboys were great evaluators, they would have had Dak Prescott as a first round pick, right? This guy went in the fourth round. Happens every year. Every year, Puka Nacua goes in the fifth round. Like, people drafted, overdrafted so many players. John Robinson was like, I am confident that Dez Fitzpatrick is going to be a good NFL wide receiver, confident enough to trade up for him. I will forego other picks. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who? I don't care. I think this guy's a good player. That kind of drafting gets you fired eventually because the history just tells us it's impossible to predict as high of a grade as we can have on these receivers, on these tackles. It's impossible to predict who's actually going to be successful. So trading down and taking more swings is always going to be philosophically a better route. Now, there are instances where you can be very, very sure of a player and maybe, you know, you're right one year and wrong the next year or whatever, you know, specific draft classes may have more guys that you feel good about. But overall, you're always going to be better off trading down, getting more picks, because a guy can be a blue chip prospect and not be good in the league, or he can have off-field issues, or he can get hurt. Like, anything can happen. You never know how it's going to play out. So I agree. I think trade down is probably higher on their board.
we're really bad. Everyone is really bad at predicting the order these players should go in, not what order they will go in, the order they should go in. I mean, can you imagine if I dropped the big board in 2020, whatever year it was, and had like Justin Jefferson as my number one ranked player on the board? Like, people would have thought I was insane. Even if I had him top five, three, four, second, third, fourth overall, Jalen Reagor got drafted ahead of him, right? So it's right. Like, we're really bad at it. You're right. More swings. It's not an exact science. You start to get yourself in trouble when you really think it is. So more swings always make sense.
All right. The number seven player on our big board, I will tell you in one moment. First, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors again. Remember, Sinkers Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville sponsoring this episode. Look, like I said last time, these companies are huge supporters of the local Nashville and Titans community. They have a ginormous selection of booze, liquor, wine, beer, bourbon, whatever you want, they have it in terms of drinking for, if you're stocking up for a party, maybe you got a draft party coming up, maybe you got a birthday party you want to celebrate, bachelor party in Nashville, bachelorette party, hello, huge in Nashville. Get all of your booze and your liquor for that party at Sinkers Beverages or Bluegrass Beverages. They're even on Uber Eats. All you got to do is load up your Uber Eats app and type in Sinkers Beverages, and you can have all the booze you want delivered straight to your door. So check them out. Sinkersbeverages.com. Scroll down a little bit and find the link to join the In Crowd. In Crowd members get access to allocated wines and spirits, exclusive events, early access to barrel releases, and more. And there's a link to find the In Crowd sign up page in the description of this episode. So check it out. All right, Justin, moving on. Number seven on our board here, the sixth player, the seventh option, Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham. Now, this is under the trade back option of our big board, so presumably the only scenario you would draft him is after trading back from pick seven.
That's correct. That's why we included it this way. Like, the Titans are hosting him on a pre-draft 30 visit, plug and play right tackle, outstanding grip strength in his hands, raw sheer power. He's a people mover in the run game. We did an outstanding film breakdown on YouTube on him, so go ahead and check it out. It's been doing pretty good numbers. You guys are showing interest in that. So, and Titans have shown interest in him again on a 30 visit. Teron Davenport said on like the Jared Stillman show that they really, really liked him. Good football player. Again, watch the film breakdown. We talked about him for like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, and you can find that on the YouTube channel, so go check that out. Now, moving on to the eighth player. This is the one that will piss people off. Look, we did our mock draft multiverse scenario where we talked about this. We did our full dueling seven-round mock drafts where I picked this player in the first round, and we got some YouTube comments that were like, wow, you guys are stupid. Like, people really hate this direction that the Titans could go, but it's a realistic direction. Ramon Foster has been, like, hammering this point on their radio show that this is where the Titans need to go with the seventh overall pick. Dallas Turner, another Bama player, this time the defensive end, opposite, basically the exact opposite of J.C. Latham, if that works. But yeah, Dallas Turner edge is who we have number eight here.
Well, he's the only defensive player on this entire list. Spoiler alert for the last two options, but it makes a lot of sense. Look, I think I wrote it in an article, and I'm going to say it on here. Every single year for like the last 25 years or more, edge, tackle, quarterback are the only three positions that have gone number one overall in the draft. It's a premium position. I'm beating a dead horse. You've probably heard me say it. They've got a huge hole opposite Harold Landry at that spot, not re-signing Dina Coatry. Brian Callahan told you himself that Arden Key is a rotational pass rusher. That's the exact word he used. It's a huge hole. In fact, you shouldn't be mad at us because we're including him so far down this list. I think there's almost zero chance they get this guy if they don't take him at seven. Like, I look at the Atlanta Falcons
back,
at eight.
If they trade back, he's likely off the board by the time wherever they're picking.
Exactly.
Is.
Atlanta Falcons at eight with a defensive-minded head coach, Raheem Morris. They've been looking for a really good pass rusher for a couple years. Chicago Bears at number nine. I think there's a chance they go with a pass rusher like Dallas Turner. They finished 31 in sacks last year in the league. They traded for Montez Sweat midseason, so that helps. But I think still looking for a pass rusher opposite him. So I think he's going to be the first pass rusher off the board. Again, spoiler alert, Titans trade down to 11, 12, 13, 14. How often is the first pass rusher off the board going at 14 overall, right? It just doesn't happen in a league that craves pass rushers. We have him here because, again, we respect more the need for a tackle or a receiver potentially with Callahan coaching this team. I don't think they're going to go pass rusher at seven. But Dallas Turner is the best one in the class. You'd be crazy to at least not have him on a list of 10 potential options for the Titans. Bear, again, positional need, value of position, premium position that it is, Titans have at least to consider him.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe we should have like thought more about the whole trade back scenario when we put this together and gone with like a Jared Verse or a Latu for this pick.
No, because he's still the number one pass rusher. And if he's on your board, you know, you're hoping to get him. If you're taking a pass rusher, you might hope to get him through a trade back and not get him. And if that happens, you've got to be prepared for alternative scenarios. But there's no way, you know, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. number one. I think that's less likely than getting Dallas Turner at 10 or 11, for example, depending on how far they trade back. So if we were going to have one pass rusher on this list, it's got to be the best ranked one.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. So moving on to the number nine option, the eighth player we're going to talk about here. Another offensive tackle, Talies Fuaga. Am I saying it right?
I think you are, out of Oregon State. I take tremendous pride because I was super early on this kid. I think I was talking about him. I think we did an episode back in October, November, where we were talking about who are some tackles in the draft, you asked me, when we were laughing at another Andre Dillard performance or whatever it was. And I said, there's a kid at Oregon State you got to keep your eyes peeled for. I got on him really early. The tape blew me away initially. I mean, the plug and play right tackle, some similarities to JC Latham, where the sheer and the raw power to dominate his opposing blockers is outstanding. The one question here is the length, right? I think he clocked in just a hair under 32 inch arms, prompted some chatter about him kicking the guard. I don't think the arm length is prohibitive enough where I'm not putting him at right tackle. That's where I'm putting him. Again, you trade back. We talked about JC Latham. I've got him ranked slightly ahead of this kid. The arm length helps a lot to make that determination. But if you trade back and you're looking for a tackle, he's got to be high on your list.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, that this is definitely a theme when it comes to the trade back scenarios here is, as we've said multiple times, it's either offensive tackle, one of the top three wide receivers, or maybe Dallas Turner. So spoiler for the next pick/picks here, because this is a top 10 big board and one of our top 10 options was not a player. We've decided to include two players here for the number 10 spot. So number 9 and 10 players, aka the 10th option here, we combined sort of Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia, and Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Pretty similar players, you know, inexperienced, not as many start. Mims even less experienced than Guyton. Insane athletes with very high upside for the position, but have some, you know, development still left to do. May not go until, you know, after pick 15-ish, maybe not till the 20s, I think, for both of these guys is that range is in play here. But two similar-ish prospects that both played right tackle in college, probably could flip to the left side in the pros if that's how the team saw their fit there. So that's who we have here at number 10 is a combination of Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton.
Well, both of them played right tackle, like you said, but I view them so differently than JC Latham and Talies Fuaga, who I think because of how, you know, how big they are and how they're run blockers first and these mammoth blockers, they're right tackles. I think these guys are super, super athletic and can kick over to the left side. In fact, I almost expect them to. Like, I think there's a very good chance that whoever drafts these two players will try them at left tackle, especially if that's where they have a need. Athletic yeah. Freak, super high performance ceiling, a bit raw in the technical areas. You got a great O-line coach like Bill Callahan. If the Titans ended up with one of these guys, it's through a trade down. They're hosting Guyton on a top 30 visit. If you watched our last podcast or listened to the last one that came out a couple days ago, that's obviously some interest in him. In fact, I think they're purposely sort of targeting or meeting with tackles that would be potential targets through trade back options. And both of these guys would be really, really good fits for that sort of scenario.
Absolutely agree. So that does it. That rounds out our top 10 big board for the Tennessee Titans. And that does it for the episode. Thanks to everyone for tuning in audio wise. Thanks even more to those of you watching on YouTube. Like I said at the top, give this video a like, hit that thumbs up button, hit the subscribe button to this channel, and turn on alerts so you get a notification every time we drop a new video. Best way to help this channel grow is to comment anything on the video, comment multiple times. Here's what I'm asking of you guys. Give us your top 10 big board for the Titans, all in separate comments. So 10 comments per person. I mean, that's going to help us grow more than anything else you guys could do. So we appreciate the support, and we appreciate the support from our sponsors as well. Sinkers Beverages in East Nashville, Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. Check out the link in this description to join the Sinkers In crowd. All right, Justin, that'll do it. We'll be back soon with more draft prep preview coverage coming your way next week as we really get into the meat of this thing. I mean, we are 2 weeks away from the draft as of the release of this video, Justin. Justin. So can't believe we're that close. And I think we're going to have to get back into the mock draft game next week. What do you think?
I think that would be fun. Hopefully you won't take Dallas Turner so no one calls you an idiot.
I think I learned my lesson there. No more Dallas Turner for me in the first round, even though we will remind you again, it's possible. Everything's possible. You never know what this team's going to do, especially with a second-year GM and a first-year head coach. We don't have trends and tendencies to look at for these guys, so who knows what direction they're going to go. All right, until we return, you all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.